Whether you're looking for answers to specific life questions or seeking to become the best version of you possible, welcome to the Mental Breakdown and Psych Reg podcast, where we offer insight, information, and strategies based upon research and years of practice as clinical psychologists. So sit back, have a listen, and get connected with our hosts, Dr. Bernie Wilkinson and Dr. Richard Marshall. Welcome back for another episode on millennials. And today we're going to talk about anger. And not anger that we feel toward the millennials, but perhaps a little bit of the anger that the millennials feel towards us as a result of some of the issues that we've talked about all week long. And I think that their anger is likely from two sources. And the first one that we're going to talk about is anger from the perspective that the world isn't quite as they're figuring out that the world isn't quite as easy as it was promised them.
That's right. The world that was described to them, the world that they were supposedly prepared for, is not the world that they encountered at the end of their journey.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah.
And they're angry about that.
Right. Mm-hmm. So let's talk about that one for a few minutes first, and then we'll get to the second one. So we have talked about all week that millennials, you know, things have been given to them. They have not really had to work for much in their life. We really haven't done much to prepare them for adulthood, for being independent and self-sufficient. Mm-hmm. So we have phenomena like, you know, failure to launch, and we have these issues where, you know, millennials are graduating high school with, you know, 4.8 GPAs, and then they go to college and they end up dropping out of college because they can't manage there. And so they're not really prepared, and they're angry because things just aren't working out the way that they were promised.
That's right. What they were told doesn't match with what they're experiencing.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
They were told one thing. And whether they drop out of college or they finish college and drop out of work.
Right.
Okay. Because what they're now experiencing is not what they were told was going to be happening.
Yeah. You know, and I think that in some ways, you know, I'm thinking about college. We tell kids, or our kids have been promised, that whatever you want to do, you can do, and that college is expected,
right?
So students go to college, and they major in something that they find interesting.
Mm-hmm.
And so let's say that they go to college, and they major in English.
Right.
Now, English is a great major. It gives you a really good foundation. It helps you look at things and understand things from a different perspective.
Right. You're going to use language every day, and you're going to become a very good analytic reader, and you're going to become a very good writer because you're going to spend a lot of your time reading and writing if you're an English major. Those are good things,
really good things. But then when you talk to them about, okay, so now how are you going to take that and find a profession, there's a disconnect because they say, wait a minute, I was told that I could sort of go and study and do whatever I want to do, but you know, so this was what I wanted to major in. This is what I wanted to do. I don't know what I want to do because I don't want to be a teacher.
Right.
I don't want to, you know, I don't want to be a newspaper editor. So they end up working outside of their profession.
Right. But you can see the logic because what they've been told is, here's middle school, you do well. Then you go to high school and you do well. Then you go to college. And at each stage, you choose... You know, you choose what you want to do in middle school. You choose what you want to do in high school. You go to college and you choose what you want to do in college. So the expectation is the next step, I should be able to choose what I want to do. Okay. But suddenly you're confronted with the world of work.
Right.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Now the rules have changed.
Right. Because you can't do what you want to do in work.
That's right. You can have a degree in English and that's fabulous. Mm-hmm. But does that translate into the next stage?
Right.
Well, if you've been going along this path, elementary school, middle school, high school, college, and everything has worked out the way you were told, you have exactly the same expectation for step five.
Right.
Problem is step five doesn't work that way.
Right.
And so they feel that they've been duped. They feel that they have been misled.
Right.
Okay.
And we can see, I think if we just take a moment and step back, you can see why that anger may be justified.
That's right. Because it might happen in college.
Right.
Or it might happen in job.
Right.
But because in high school, you're sort of coddled and spoon-fed. And then you get to college and we don't care what you do, especially if you're at a large state university. Hey, if you don't go to class, if you don't come to class and you don't study, you're going to flunk out.
Right.
You're going to have problems. Okay?
Right.
And suddenly, for the first time in your life, the rules have changed.
Right.
And when the rules change, they start to fall. They get angry.
Right. Okay. And you know, I think that the and it's in part rooted in the fact again that these some of these things are just expected.
That's right.
They're not going to college because they really want to go to college. They're going to college because they were told that this is just what you do.
College is the new high school.
Right.
You know, we all went to high school. It was unthinkable that you not go to high school.
Right.
And now, college is the new high school. You go to college like you went to high school.
Mm-hmm.
But high school led to college. College doesn't necessarily lead to another step that's predictable.
Right. Yeah, so there's a lot of frustration in that because, again, you know, depending on what they choose to study...
That's right.
The likelihood of working in an area that they may find interesting restricts.
Because the world has changed so much.
Restricts. It is restricted.
It is restricted. Right.
So, you know, English majors. And now English is a pretty diverse thing. But I think that we have sort of gone STEM. Science, technology, engineering, and mathematics. So we started all these STEM programs. And really, STEM was born out of the idea of this idea.
Right.
It's like, okay, well, look, this is the area that all that we're seeing the biggest growth. So let's create schools that are just STEM schools.
Right.
And I think, in a way, that's good. Perhaps ideal for students who aren't quite sure what they want to do. And so it's like, you know, hey, I need to get a good job. I need to work. My interests lie in some of these other areas over here that I can't perhaps do yet as a profession, but I want to learn how to think in a higher ordered way. I want to learn how to analyze things from a higher ordered way. So I want to go to college.
Okay.
Not sure what I want to major in. So going to a STEM program or like a polytech type of program or something like that may be ideal in that kind of situation, because then the possibility of getting a job, if you feel like a job doesn't matter, which specific job doesn't matter, then that might be an option. But I think that, you know, the idea of having STEM elementary schools and STEM middle schools and STEM high schools, I think that we're sort of overcorrecting, because now we're getting rid of creative, artistic things. And, and I think that that is to err on the other side. Yeah.
They're in the other direction. And now we have STEM programs becoming STEAM.
Right.
STEAMA.
So we get a little bit of art.
Right. Yeah. So there's a bit of an acknowledgement, but you're right. I think we've overcorrected.
Right.
Okay. And we're slotting kids a little too early. But at the same time, if it's important to have a STEM-based education, then why not give everybody a STEM-based education?
Right.
Why do we have these little academies where some children are getting it, but other children aren't?
Right.
Are we preparing some, or are we going to prepare all?
Right. Now, the second reason that I think that millennials are angry is because, well, again, the first reason that they're angry was because they think that they were duped. But the second reason is that, you know, they were sort of raised to believe that they were the special ones, that they were the ones who were most important, that they deserved everything. Again, we kind of get back to that entitlement idea and everything. And once they reach adulthood, they're no longer treated as the special one. They're, you know, they are just one of many.
That's right.
And you know, we kind of... There was sort of back in the day, there was sort of this, I don't remember what it was, I don't know how to really define it, but, you know, people were just referred to by their number, their student number.
Mm-hmm.
So the colleges don't know who you are.
Right.
They know you by your student number, your student ID.
Right.
And so you're not special anymore. And I think that a lot of millennials are angry about that.
Right. And, you know, we talk about cultural differences, and we have in education, we talk about students from with an Oriental,
right,
from the Oriental cultures. And one of the things we generally talk about is that the Oriental culture is group oriented, mm-hmm, rather than individual,
right,
oriented. You do it for your family. You mm-hmm, do it mm-hmm. for your neighborhood. You do it for your city. And that seems to be a good thing,
right,
is that you are concerned about more than just yourself.
Right.
With millennials, parents have put them in the center,
right,
of the universe and have made them the most important thing,
right,
that the world really does revolve around me. And that's probably doing children a disservice.
Right.
Because how do you say, you know, children should be seen and not heard?
Right.
Okay. Well, no, we really don't believe in that,
right,
but we understand where that comes from. But if a child controls the family,
right,
if they're put at the center of the family and they become the decision maker,
mm-hmm.
Again, I think the pendulum has swung a little too far in the wrong direction. And I think many millennials have been made to feel that they are the
right
most important thing in the world.
Right. Yeah. And again, once they get to the real world, meaning once they finish high school and
whenever they
home,
encounter it,
right,
some encounter it in high school where they suddenly say,
yeah,
"Oh, I'm a big fish in a little fish in a big pond."
Right.
Some discover it in college, and some discover it at the workforce.
Right.
But at whatever point they discover it, resentment builds.
Right.
Because they say, "Oh,
right,
I thought I was the most important thing in the world."
Right. And we see this very often from parents, mm-hmm, or in kids because of their parents when, you know, they are, you know, a high school, because like you said, it could happen in high school as well. But this is how we foster this anger that usually comes up later, is, you know, a high schooler joins a team.
Yeah.
And, you know, the parent has the kid convinced that, well, you're going to be the captain of the team.
Right.
Because you're, of course, the best player in the world.
Right.
And then they try out for the team and they're not the best.
Right.
But they, in their mind, they're still, they should be captain. Mm-hmm. Why wouldn't I be captain?
And so what do they do?
And so they don't become captain. And so either the parent manipulates the system to try to get them to be captain, mm-hmm, or they quit the team.
Or they quit.
And they, you know, mm-hmm, then they've joined a team, and so the team now relies on them, and they don't become, yeah, captain, so they quit the team, and so now there's a missing space.
Or they join the team to be in a particular, to play a particular position.
Right.
And if the coach says, well, I don't want you playing there, I want you playing here.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want you to be a running back, I want you to be a linebacker.
Right.
And they say, oh, no, I'm a running back. I can only be a quarterback.
Yeah.
I can only be a running back.
Yeah.
You're not, again, that's not a team orientation.
Right.
You play
right
the position that's needed.
Yeah. That happens every year in when I coach soccer.
Right.
You know, you ask the players when they're trying out, and 9 out of 10... we'll say that they're attacking players, they're strikers, they're goal scorers.
Mm-hmm.
And very few say that they are defenders.
Right.
And my perspective is defense is the most important position on the field. And so we're going to change that a little bit.
Right. Mm-hmm.
We're going to
Even though a player might be better,
right,
better suited,
right,
the way they play the game, their mm-hmm size, their speed, whatever, they might be better at a defender
right
position. They want to be strikers because everybody wants to score goals.
Right.
That's where the glory and honor is.
Yeah. So it's so again, we have created this scenario where our children believe that they are the most important, the
right
most critical person, the most important person, as you said, the center of the universe.
Right.
And when they realize that this isn't true,
right,
then many millennials have gotten very
right
angry and very upset about this. And so, again, I don't know that it's unjustified.
Right. So the message should be, yes, you are special, but you're a member of a team.
Right.
Yes, you are special, but you're a member of a family.
Right.
Yes, you are special, but... And we have to, I think, get this balance
right
between, yes, you're special, but you're a member of the family, and you're no more important than anybody else in this house.
Exactly. Yes, you are special to me.
Mm-hmm.
But when you leave this, you know, walk out of this door, nobody else out there knows you're special.
Right.
You know,
right,
they're
that's
not
true
going to treat you that way. And so, millennials, you know, the message to you, it's not that you're not special.
Mm-hmm.
It's just that you're going to have to demonstrate
You're going to have to earn special from everybody else.
Right.
Your parents may give it to you unconditionally, they shouldn't. They may give it to you unconditionally, but you're going to have to earn right. that special status from everybody else
right.
by being humble, by being helpful, by being considerate, by being thoughtful.
By being a team worker, by having a sense of community as opposed right. to a sense of individuality.
Right, right.
So, so that falls in your lap, millennials. That's something that you have to do.
That's right.
So, all right. Well, I think that's it for today.
That's it.
We will have one more show this week on millennials where we're going to kind of bring it all together.
Yeah.
And talk about a few strategies and mm-hmm. things that we can, we will encourage you to think about and right. consider moving forward. So, but that's it for today. So check us back next week. Tomorrow. It'll be released
tomorrow. Right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Who knows? You know, we've changed how we're doing things. And so it's,
And we're beginning to speed into the new semester. If you're in high school, the grades
right.
have come out.
So right, right.
New grading period. Mm-hmm. College and university students are beginning to accelerate toward midterms.
Right.
And so everything's beginning to pick up. The shake off the dust from
Sorry,
the holiday.
It was February.
I know. March is halfway through the semester. And so
right.
things are beginning to accelerate now. So
yeah.
We'll get busy.
So, all right. So make sure you subscribe, follow, check us out. Because who knows what we're going to be talking about next week.
We have some interesting stuff coming up that we're going to be talking about in the next couple of weeks.
I've got some new things for you,
I have some new ones, too.
So. All right. So we will talk. We'll be back tomorrow. Have a great day. Stay happy. Stay healthy. And forget to be afraid.